Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, and the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilscher's General Store. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. Orlando Sentinel, by the way, is reporting, Penn State has not officially released this yet, but the Orlando Sentinel is reporting that the Nittany Lion football team will be hosting Central Florida on September 14th at Beaver Stadium. And, of course, that's the slot that Virginia is supposed to be in, and that there would be a return game to Orlando in 2014, which would probably be September 20th, and they'd take the UMass game and flip it back to the 13th. So just getting everybody up to date on that piece of information. Time now to talk college basketball. We bring in one of the best. You see him on the Big Ten Network. You see him on the ACC Network. And, yes, for many years he has been a part of March Madness on CBS. Dan Bonner. Dan, welcome. It is great to have you on the show.
Steve, thank you. It's great to be on your show. Glad to do it.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. Let's start. I mean, you do a lot with the ACC. So Miami certainly, I think, gave us a pretty good hint back in late November, early December when they beat Michigan State in the ACC Challenge. What have you been seeing from Jim Larrañaga's team that allowed them to do what they did the other night?
You know, that's a really interesting question, and Miami, I think, is a very interesting team because when they beat Michigan State, one of their key players was Reggie Johnson, and he played well against Michigan State. And during his career at Miami, particularly the last couple of years, when he has played well, Miami's been pretty good. But he does not bring it every night. And so when he doesn't play well, Miami sometimes has struggled. And I know he played 16 minutes in the Duke game, but that's the first time he's played in like seven games because he had a broken thumb, I think. And during his absence, Miami put together a very exciting sort of perimeter-oriented, fast-paced type of team with really good chemistry. And I'm going to be interested to see if they are able to maintain that, because when Reggie Johnson comes back, everybody's role on that team changes, and that's going to be very interesting moving forward as to how well they're going to play.
Dan, the upperclassmen, of course, were recruited by Frank Haith, who's now at Missouri, but Jim Larrañaga was going along just fine at George Mason and probably could have had that job for life. What's the imprint you have seen on Miami from him?
I think that what he does, what he did at George Mason, and what he's doing at Miami is they play a style that emphasizes really hard-nosed defense and sharing the ball together on offense. And what I find most interesting about it is the fact that he has been able to implement that style fairly successfully with somebody else's players. And that's not a criticism of Frank Haith. I thought he was a really good coach and a really good recruiter, and obviously he has shown his ability as a coach out at Missouri, where he's taken somebody else's players and done a great job out at Missouri. But I think that it's a real credit to Jim Larrañaga and his staff that he can do that with kids who he didn't recruit and some kids who don't really fit that style, but he's convinced them that that's what they ought to do.
As for Duke, we know they're outstanding, but still at the same time, like every other team, they have some hurdles they have to overcome. What does Mike Krzyzewski have to overcome with his basketball team at this stage? Because obviously they're in, but they're thinking deep run.
I'm not sure that they're going to be able to make a deep run unless they get that Kelly kid back. And if they do, I'm still not sure that they're going to be able to do that. This was a team that, based on their veteran experience and obviously their tremendous preparation, that they were the best team in the country, or one of the best, two or three best teams in the country in November and December. But everybody plays to be one of the best couple of teams in the country in February and March. And I'm just not sure that Duke hasn't peaked already, that even if they get Kelly back, and it's always a question, I think his injury is that fifth metatarsal, and that's a hard injury to come back from, even if you're out for a year and you come back from it the next year, and particularly for a big guy, that's tough. And I'm just not sure that they have the kind of depth of talent and experience that they can afford to lose him and still be one of the top teams in the country. Now, they'll win enough games because the ACC is not really a very strong league this year. They'll win enough games that they'll stay in the top 10 or 15 of the rankings, but I'm not sure that they'll be one of the top 10 or 15 teams in the country.
Hey, you've done a lot with the Big Ten Network, and you've seen Big Ten teams. You mentioned the ACC, not their best year. The depth of quality teams in the Big Ten, how impressed are you by that?
I am extremely impressed. I was extremely impressed last year. I was thrilled that the people from the Big Ten Network gave me an opportunity to do some of those games. I thought it was a fabulous league last year. I think it's better this year. I think you can go down in that league all the way through. I think you have to exclude Nebraska and Penn State. They obviously have some challenges that they're still trying to overcome. I've actually been surprised that Purdue has played as well in the conference as they have. So I think you have to include them among the teams that, you know, they make up that depth of the league. But I think you go all the way through the teams. You go through the 10, excluding Nebraska and Penn State, and I think you can legitimately make the claim that anybody can beat anybody else, given whether they're playing at home or on the road, given whether somebody's sick or injured or something like that. I think it's just a great, great basketball league.
Is there a team that you have broadcast this year, Dan, that surprised you? You thought they were good, but they're better than you thought entering the game.
Actually, yes, and the team it is, it's Michigan State. I was not convinced in watching them on tape and reading about them that they were going to be quite as good as I saw them. I was very impressed with the way they played together. I'm very impressed. As always, you can't play for Tom Izzo unless you're tough. But I just did not expect them to be that way. I think that they're a team. I talked about Duke maybe peaking a little bit too early. I think Michigan State is going to get better and better as the year goes on. So the answer to your question would be Michigan State.
When you look at Appling, he's the steady guy. Harris, of course, can give them the outside shot. But Dawson's return from an ACL and the development of Adrian Payne as a big man, what does Payne mean as a big man to you, Dan, to allow the other parts to fit into place for Tom Izzo?
I think that the way Tom Izzo coaches, and this, I don't think it's any mystery about this, Tom Izzo is a guy who, when he has his most successful teams, they have a legitimate inside presence. And that, of course, is not just with Tom Izzo. If we want to use an example from the ACC, the University of North Carolina, for a number of years, has had a guy that when the going gets tough, some big guy inside to whom they can throw the ball, and he's going to get your basket or go to the free throw line. Ohio State has had that for a number of years. And both of those teams, Ohio State and North Carolina, lack that this year. And that's one of the reasons why maybe they're not as good as they thought they were going to be, although they're both pretty good, particularly Ohio State. But now with the development of Payne, that gives Michigan State that guy on the inside. And when you have a guy who can go get your points on the inside, that means that you're not going to eliminate scoring droughts, but you're going to minimize them. And I think that when you're playing top-tier teams and you consider yourself to be a top-tier team, that's really an important thing, is to minimize those scoring droughts.
Obviously, I've seen Indiana twice in the last 2.5 weeks. They have that in Zeller. What about the parts surrounding him?
Well, I think that the parts surrounding him are very, very good. I think Indiana is a team, though, where the parts have to fit together, and I think that for the most part they do. They're an exciting team to watch. They play an exciting brand of basketball. But with Indiana, there's going to be a lot of possessions in the game. And when you play that fast-paced transition kind of game, you don't always get the defensive play that you'd like to have. But that's part of the price you pay. So I think they're going to be one of the best teams in the Big Ten, obviously. I think they're going to be one of the best teams in the country all year. I really like their style of play, and having Zeller inside makes all the difference in the world, obviously.
you and I know that within the changes within the game, this is really a game now. A big man's a very important part, so we've established that. But a lot of this game now is 6'2 to 6'8, 6'9, long, lean, athletic, can run and hit threes. Did I just define Michigan?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And it's that. I mean, that's the way college basketball has gone. And one of the reasons for that is there just aren't that many 6'11 back to the basket guys who are willing to actually play down in there. Everybody wants to shoot threes. Doesn't matter whether you're 6'1 or 6'11. And so I think that there just aren't that many guys out there, and coaches adapt to what's available. And Don Beilein, throughout his entire coaching career, he's never had big back-to-the-basket guys to coach. And so he's developed a coaching style that relies on exactly the type of player that you're talking about. And as you say, that's sort of the prototype for college basketball, but it defines Michigan perfectly.
Back to the ACC for a moment, because you've seen a lot of that lately. I talked about Miami Duke. Give us a read on North Carolina. They certainly have been hit with losses by guys entering the NBA early. That's just the quality of the program. Has Roy Williams been able to at least keep them as an upper team while still replacing key guys like a Harrison Barnes who ends up leaving?
I think he has. They started out 0-2 in the conference, but they're 3-2 now. And I think that they're going to continue to improve, because the issue I think that they had was they were really not getting the kind of guard play that they need, particularly the point guard play. They were turning the ball over a little too much. They weren't shooting it very well. But I think that when you have adversity, if you've got kids who are tough kids, then you figure out how to do things. And Roy Williams, I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame. He knows what he's doing. I think his kids will develop as the season goes on. I look for North Carolina to be a contender in the ACC, and possibly their development by the end of the season will be such that they might be able to make a deep run in the NCAA tournament. I don't look for them to go to the Final Four or win the national championship or anything like that. But I think the key for them is, as their guard play improves, particularly their point guard play, that they will be a bigger and bigger threat.
Dan, you and I both know that in a lot of games, the teams that win lines, the free throw line in combination with the three-point line, usually that's the combination that swings the game. Which teams have you seen so far in person that do very well at the free throw line and also are very good at the three-point line?
I think Kansas is one of those teams. I obviously think that Michigan State, they're better from the free throw line than they are from the three-point line. But I think those are two teams among the top teams in the country that can really, really put that together. I thought a very interesting team that I'm not saying they're among the top 10 teams in the country or anything, but I had the opportunity a couple of days ago to see the University of New Mexico. And the University of New Mexico is a team that shoots the three pretty well, but even though they do that, they score more points from the free throw line. And 85% of the teams in the country score more points from behind the three-point line than they do from the free throw line. So New Mexico is sort of an oddity. They're one of those 15% that reverse it, but they can shoot the three. They can get to the line. I think they are a very interesting team, maybe sort of a little bit unknown.
It's amazing. Steve Alford leaves Iowa, where he had trouble, goes to New Mexico, and everything falls into place for him. We know that there's a certain percentage of teams that really are capable of winning the national championship. It may be 10 to 15 teams, probably, if they get the right run, can do it. I'm sensing, and you can tell me if I'm wrong about this, that the game of college basketball now is maybe 150 deep of good teams. Is that right or wrong? Not great, but good.
I think that's right. I think that's right. You know, I just mentioned New Mexico, and I think you look, as you look at conferences, that in the RPI ratings, the number two conference in the country, going back and forth between number two and number three after the Big Ten all year, has been the Mountain West Conference. And the Mountain West Conference, the folks out there are really excited about the non-conference start for all those teams, and they're talking about six teams getting to the NCAA tournament. I don't think that'll happen, but I think that it speaks to your point that there are a lot of good teams in the Mountain West. Here we are, it's the end of January, and we're talking about six teams: New Mexico, UNLV, San Diego State, Wyoming, Boise State, and Colorado State being teams that are potentially in the NCAA tournament. And 5 years ago, nobody would have talked about, you know, six teams from a league like that. But I think that that's the way college basketball has progressed, that there are a lot of really good teams out there. And this year, unlike last year when it was clearly Kentucky was the best team, we weren't sure they were going to win the national championship, but they were clearly the best team. I don't think you have that situation this year. It's very interesting. I think that you could have as many as 20 teams this year who could get on a roll and potentially win the NCAA tournament. But it's a very deep season for college basketball, and that's been the trend. That's we've been trending in that direction the last couple of years.
You and I both know that the moves and expansion in collegiate sports have dealt with football with the football money, that basketball isn't factored into it until it comes time to put together the basketball schedule. We've lost rivalries, okay? Kansas-Missouri being one, among others. We're about to lose Maryland and Duke as of July 1st, 2014. How do you feel about conference expansion and how it's been able to shake down?
Steve, that's a very interesting question. How I feel about it is a lot like how I feel about the sun coming up in the east every day. You know, I might like it to come up someplace else, but it doesn't shine in my face. But it's something that happens, and it's something that's going to happen, and it's something that is not going to be controlled by any person. It's controlled by money, and yeah, people are concerned about football, but as we both know, it's more cable TV money now than anything else. So it's going to happen, and I'm not opposed to it happening, although I tend to be a traditionalist, and I like the tradition. I like the rivalries. And Mike Krzyzewski, I read a quote from him about all this. He said, you know, the one thing we lose in all this is the tradition, and it's the tradition that separates college athletics from professional athletics, and we're losing that. And so it's too bad. But it's, you know, that's just the way the world is going nowadays, and we can complain about it, or we can try to figure out who's in what conference. I have a hard time with that. I have a hard time keeping track of who's here now and who's going to be where.
And my friend Dick Girardi and I were saying the other day, who's in Conference USA? And we just looked at each other.
Absolutely.
We have no idea. And we used to know every one of them. Dan, it absolutely.
Well, isn't it like, you know, what it's like, Steve, is you remember, and we're both of an age where you could grow up and you knew every Major League Baseball player. You knew every player on every team.
Yes, we
and
did.
And now, you know, I can't tell you. I don't know who's where.
Yeah. The only one, Strasburg's on Washington, but that's because they shut him down. We know that.
it's just hard to keep track of. You know, it's very interesting with Stan Musial passing away.
Yes.
That Stan Musial is St. Louis. You don't associate yes. Stan Musial with anybody but St. Louis. And anybody who followed baseball during the time that Stan Musial played knew that Stan Musial was St. Louis. And you don't have any more really in professional baseball, and what you're seeing in college athletics is something that we've been used to for a long time, something that we were comfortable with is now changing and changing rapidly, and it's, you know, it's just an adjustment for us, but it's there will be people who are much younger than us, our kids maybe, who 10 years from now they'll regard all this as the norm, and they'll think we're like those folks who talk about how when we were young we had to go to school through 6 feet of snow uphill both ways. So,
well, Dan, that's true. Now, Dan, an absolute pleasure. I had a blast knocking it around with you, and I hope we can do this again. Best of luck. You're doing an outstanding job.
Thanks, Steve. I really appreciate it.
Dan Bonner, ACC, Big Ten Network, and also CBS March Madness. We're from Jeff Byers at the bottom of the hour. We'll take a break. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While your favorite team is driving down the field, you're driving all around looking for a new car, which is driving you crazy. Well, Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices. Our North 4th Street Auto Plaza is stocked full of Ford, Lincoln, and Hyundais. We sell over a couple hundred cars a month. Why? Service and price. With our lowest price promise, if you can find a better price at another dealer on the used car you want, we'll beat it. That's a promise. Shop the largest Ford dealership online 24/7 at sunburymotors.com. Let's stop in and test drive Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury and our Kia dealership at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And be ready to tackle the largest inventory and our lowest price promise, selling more cars and satisfying more customers since 1915. Sunbury Motors. SunburyMotors.com. The winning team.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The first hour of our show being posted online now, the retrospective on Coach Phil. As we lost one of the truly great ones and an even better friend. One of the true legends of the Valley. Who influenced many young people along the way, who to this day will tell you what he meant to them. Some will refer to him as the second father. But he always had wrestling, sports, and life in perspective. Passed away today at the age of 75. Tomorrow, triple header here on the broadcast, Facility of Champions. Starting with Nittany Lion basketball tomorrow against Ohio State at 11:30. Chicolemy wrestling after that. Chicolemy basketball in the evening. It's all part of our triple header tomorrow. Someone asked earlier in the week about the Alton brothers. So let's get Jeff Byers in line. Jeff, one question only for you. Give us a status on the Alton brothers as to what Cale might or might not do with them.
We're ready to make a decision today. The coaches are trying to be pretty deliberate here in the way they handle this, to be fair to both the Altons, but also to James English and James Woolrath, who are a couple of young men who certainly earned the opportunity here to represent this team at those respective weight classes. And, you know, James English is just a kid that you want representing your university and your program. I mean, he's just a brilliant kid, an engineering student, and a straight-A engineering student at that. And he's just one of those guys that does everything the way you dream about a college student athlete doing them. And James Woolrath is the guy who I really think, Steve, if he wanted I know if he wanted, he could go elsewhere and be competing for All-American honors here this season, and he's obviously got another year of eligibility left. So there has not been a final decision made. The coaching staff is getting together with the wrestlers today, and you know, sometime this evening there will be a determination made. I'm guessing they aren't going to publicly release that until Sunday, but they're, again, trying to be fair to everybody involved. The Altons, to their credit, since the incident occurred, have done everything and then some that the coaching staff has asked. But it's, you know, for the Alts right now, it's really kind of a long-term thing here. And, you know, it's going to be a matter of kind of proving themselves day in and day out now for this program. But ultimately, I think whether it's this Sunday or the following weekend, you know, the Altons are certainly the wrestlers that you would be expecting to represent this university here for the stretch run, because they're both guys that are capable of winning national titles this season.
All right, Jeff, thanks so much. Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling. So the decision on the Alton brothers expected it tonight, but we might not learn about their fate actually until Sunday when they wrestle Nebraska. So that gets everybody up to date on that. Kevin says to me in the break, he says, "You probably talk more wrestling today than you have in your life." I'm like, I said, no. When I was wrestling on television, I probably have done 50 or 60 dual meets in my career on TV. You didn't know that, did you?
I did three.
Yeah.
On the radio.
Oh,
including Big Ten Network and so forth.
I mean, I did not know that. No, you're right. Every day, I learn something new on this program.
And what did you learn today? What did you learn yesterday?
That I've been right all along. And you're in the minority.
I'm in the minority when it comes to the soap opera style of sports that we have today. I know I'm in the minority. But it doesn't mean that I'm in the minority. I'll back off. No, it's not how I work. So, it's a great quarterback matchup. Copernicus against Galileo on a week from Sunday. Looking forward to it.
Actually,
I heard somebody call Kaepernick Copernicus.
I was going to say, what?
I said, who's the other quarterback? Galileo?
I was hoping you were going to explain that, or I was going to ask what was in your cup.
Nothing. I heard this guy say it. I said, you mean Kaepernick, right? Really?
I don't have much room to talk. I butcher names all the time.
But you know who was the worst? Was Tom Landry. Gary Hogaboom drove him nuts, and he started. Gary Hogaboom. You know, what's interesting, though, is that you have, look at the two quarterbacks and where they're from. Okay? The two quarterbacks and where they're from. Nevada and Delaware. Now, obviously, Flacco started at Pitt. But there really is not a cradle of quarterbacks right now. You know, Eli Manning is Ole Miss. Robert Griffin III is Baylor. Nick Foles, Arizona. Michael Vick, Virginia Tech. Eastern Illinois is Tony Romo. Then you go to Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, Cal. Jay Cutler, Vanderbilt. Christian Ponder is Florida State. Matthew Stafford's Georgia. You know, you go south, you've got Matt Ryan, Boston College, Cam Newton, Auburn, Drew Brees, Purdue, Josh Freeman, Kansas State. You go out west, and Colin Kaepernick's Nevada. If you want to go with Alex Smith, that's Utah. You know, Sam Bradford with the Rams is Oklahoma. Russell Wilson is Wisconsin. And Skelton is from Fordham. Then you go to the AFC. You have Brady, who's Michigan. Tannehill is Texas A&M. Sanchez is USC. Fitzpatrick is Harvard. Then you go to the AFC North, and you have Dalton as TCU. Flacco's Delaware by way of Pitt. You have Roethlisberger, who's Miami of Ohio, and Whedon's Oklahoma State. Then you take that south, and you have Luck is Stanford. Schaub is Virginia. Jacksonville is Gabbard, who's Missouri, and Jake Locker is Washington with Tennessee. And then you flip the thing out west, and you have whomever the quarterback of the day is with Oakland. So let's just say it's Pryor, since he was the last starter. It's the only start of his career, and I think it was going to be the only start of his career. But, I mean, he's Ohio State, and Rivers is North Carolina State. Castle is USC, and Quinn is Notre Dame, and Manning, Peyton Manning, is Tennessee. I mean, who's the cradle of quarterbacks? The only duplicate is if you go with Castle, who never started a game at USC, and Sanchez. You're currently disgusted. I knew all that.
No, not disgusted. I just don't know how you remember all that stuff. I think it's your photographic memory.
Oh. I remember that we're brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilshers General Store Hotline, open at 1-800-795-9565. Go to hilshersstore.com. That's www.hilshersstore.com. Wide variety.
Yeah, look outside. What do you think you need today?
Coat and boots.
Wouldn't be bad to have a shovel or two.
Yeah.
Exactly. Maybe an ice scraper.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they have it all. But you see, there's no cradle of quarterbacks. I'm telling you right now, a place that has a chance to be that's here.
Now, I know that the world is enamored. We're going to have a lot of talk over the next 9 days, and we're going to have Greg Cosell from NFL Films on in the NFL Network next week, working on Mike Mayock as well, but we have Greg Cosell lined up. And what everyone's going to talk about, the read option and the pistol formation, correct?
Sure. I mean, that's what's got me talking, too. About. I've been talking about it for how long now?
Yet every expert will tell you, of all the young quarterbacks, which one do they want? Every one of them. I haven't heard one person deviate from this.
They want a passer.
They all want Andrew Luck. I heard this morning. I listened to Mike and Mike this morning on ESPN. Okay? When they were on ESPN2 this morning. And Greeny asked everybody. And every single person said the same thing. Of all the young guys, they want Andrew Luck. And these guys are watching tape after tape after tape. Here's the bottom line. This is now a passer's league. Okay, Colin Kaepernick, if he can't throw the football, and Robert Griffin III, if he can't throw the football, can't play in this league on an every down basis. What makes the two of them really good is they are great runners, but above all, they are very accurate passers. Kaepernick throws as tight a ball as you'll see. He throws a spiral. I mean, you watch him throw. Watch the slow motion stuff. Look for the ripple. Where is it? And Griffin's accuracy, which I think is the greatest premium in the league, is phenomenal. You can't run the read option in the National Football League and be an every down quarterback unless you can throw it. Now, who fits that bill?
What, they can run and throw?
I mean, I just talked about they can do that. Wilson is more of a guy that evades trouble.
Yeah, I don't think he's a mobile quarterback. He's not an option style quarterback.
Of the guys coming up, Geno Smith is a pocket quarterback. Matt Barkley's a pocket quarterback. Mike Glennon of NC State's a pocket quarterback. They're all pocket guys. Because the guys that you're talking about that you're enamored with, because you love the read option.
I do. Right? Especially in the NFL.
Well, guess what? The guys that run it, Braxton Miller, Denard Robinson, Taylor Martinez, three examples. You know what all three have in common?
No.
They can't play quarterback in the National Football League.
That's a problem.
And why can't they?
Throwing issues?
They can't throw the ball well enough.
See, the reason I like a guy like Kaepernick is I think he gives he makes it a real gamble in the NFL to blitz a linebacker. Because there's so many things that he can do with the ball, especially in that pistol formation. Let's face it, when he hands the ball off, it's a glorified draw.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If he doesn't hand it off, he can go around the edge. Now your outside linebacker's got to stay home. He can actually take that running back up the middle and dump it off right in front of the linebacker. Now the middle linebacker has to stay home. Plus, he can go deep. And that's why I like that kind of quarterback.
Jim Harbaugh personally worked out Colin Kaepernick. Personally worked him out. He went to Nevada. Now, Kaepernick had a great career at Nevada. I mean, who's the quarterback to beat Boise State? Kaepernick.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking years, but that's true.
Yeah, he's the quarterback to beat Boise State. Before everybody goes, everybody needs a read option guy. How many are there?
Well, the drawback of this is you have to design your offense around it, and then if he gets hurt, who do you have to fill into that? Then you have to go back to more vanilla style offense, and I use the term vanilla loosely, but you can't do the same things.
No, you can't. But my point in all of this is as follows. Kaepernick, at 250 pounds, by the way.
Is that really?
Yes.
250?
Yeah.
No. Wow. I never would have guessed that.
He's put together like a Roethlisberger. What do you think Roethlisberger is?
Well, I thought he was like 235, 240.
No. Kerry Collins played at 250, for goodness sakes.
Wow.
These guys are here.
My problem is I'm not tall enough. Is that
when we were at the Rose Bowl,
okay,
there's plexiglass between the broadcast booths. And to our left was the USC broadcast team. And Jack taps me on the shoulder. He says, "Hey, Steve, do you want to know why I lasted a dozen years in the NFL?" And I said, "Other than skill?" He says, "No." He says, look to your left. I go, "Yeah, it's Paul McDonald." He says, "Yeah, that's right." He says, 6'3", 185 pounds. He says, "That's what I hit every single week." He says, "Roethlisberger's 250. Games changed. But my point is that Kaepernick and Griffin are the aberrations that allow you to run the read option because they're already accomplished throwers of the football that also happen to be accomplished runners. That's my point. That's why not everybody can do it. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Again, when you look at Colin Kaepernick, when he ran his 40 at the combine, he ran 4.53. When Robert Griffin III ran his 40 at the combine a year ago, it was 4.1. You're just not going to find guys like that that can throw the football with the incredible proficiency that they do. And you realize that Nevada, Kaepernick, he was a four-year starter there. He went 5 years, a four-year starter there. Okay, he was in single digits in interceptions every year. He threw 82 touchdown passes in his Nevada career. This guy was, I remember when the 49ers drafted him, I thought, that's a heck of a choice. Second round like that? I thought, that is a heck of a choice because I thought he might be a first-round guy. When I watched him play at Nevada and I watched him play in bowl games. Size, way through the ball, could run it. But again, accuracy. RG3 is a very, very accurate quarterback. Kaepernick, for the most part, is an accurate quarterback. And he won't make the big mistake. See, that's where Flacco has been brilliant this postseason. 853 yards passing, 8 touchdowns, and no interceptions in 3 postseason games. The 3 biggest games of the year that he has played, he has not thrown a pick. It's been great. So quarterback-wise, there's going to be a lot of talk about Kaepernick this, Kaepernick, and justifiably so. But for the world's sake, we need to get one of those. There aren't many of those out there. That's my point. My point is there just aren't any out there. I pointed out 3 guys in the Big Ten. They're all great read option guys. Guess what? Not a one of them can throw the ball well enough to play in the NFL. Penn State, Ohio State tomorrow, noon, 11:30, the airtime, followed by Shikellamy and Baldy Delaria. 2:30 tomorrow. And Shikellamy basketball with Midwest on the road tomorrow night at 7. Coming up on Tuesday, it'll be Shikellamy in wrestling against Belfont, just about 10 miles from where I am right now. Wednesday, Shikellamy in Selins Grove in basketball. It'll be at Selins Grove. Then you line basketball at Iowa next Thursday night.
7:30 the airtime, 8 the tip-off from Carver Hawkeye. And then we fast forward to Saturday, Shikellamy boys basketball against Shamokin. That's a 2 o'clock in the afternoon matchup. And then Shikellamy has a wrestling match against TBD. Always exciting TBD. We always find TBD to be rather intriguing along the way. TBD is always, they always bring something to the table that's unexpected.
It has not officially been announced because I believe that is a District 4 championship game match.
TBD.
I'm guessing Jersey Shore.
To be determined. Orlando Sentinel reporting Penn State will play football September 14th with Central Florida here at Beaver Stadium. That is the day they're supposed to play Virginia. Okay. So it'll be Central Florida, and then the return, according to the Orlando Sentinel would be Saturday, September 20th, 2014, either at the campus stadium or possibly at the Citrus Bowl.
Did it give a reason why?
Well, Bill O'Brien, the Sentinel doesn't. Penn State hasn't released this yet.
Oh, okay. That's just out of
the Penn State hasn't released it yet, but you know Bill O'Brien used to coach with George O'Leary. And conspiracy theorists will say, Virginia, Big Ten.
Very interesting.
Conspiracy theorists will do that. Not that as if that's ever happened on this show.
No.
Oh, no.
No, we work based on fact.
Look, I feel better that they say that Manti Te'o's phone friend was actually female. Like, oh. Okay. That's a sad story. Coach Phil, we loved you, man. Our condolences to the family from our broadcast family here at Sunbury Broadcasting.